tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Dimensions of Islamic Life. And I hope wherever you are, whichever part of the world you are watching from, may Allah Azza wa Jal keep you in the best of health and iman. Ameen. Bijahin Nabihil Ameen. And inshallah Azza wa Jal, in today's episode and program, we are going to discuss the memorable lessons from Sahih Bukhari. Subhanallah. Sahih al-Bukhari is, as we all know, a celebrated book of hadith. And it was compiled by Abu Abdullah Muhammad bin Ismail al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. Before we inshallah dive deep into our today's episode, let's inshallah azza wa jal first and foremost recite Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who would have recited the most salat upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Subhanallah, dear viewers, as we are sharing some memorable lessons from Sahih Bukhari, and this is the book, subhanallah, the book itself is very authentic, and it is the most authentic book after the Holy Quran. Allahu Akbar. It is said regarding Sahih Bukhari, Asahul Kutubi Ba'da Kitabillahi As-Sahihul Bukhari. The most authentic book after the Book of Allah is Sahih Bukhari. One famous title of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi is Amirul Mu'mineen Fil Hadith. Subhanallah. He is the leader of believers when it comes to the sciences of hadith. Allahu Akbar. And it should really come to you as a motivation and an inspiration that how Sahih Bukhari was written. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala harbored profound love for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was exceptionally pious along with being a scholar and hadith expert of the highest caliber. His decorum was such that every time he wished to write a hadith and include it in his book, he would take a ritual bath, meaning a ghusl, and offer 2 rakahs and 2 units of salah. And then he would perform istikhara regarding the hadith's authenticity and then record it in his work. Subhanallah. Sahih al-Bukhari, it has thousands of ahadith, subhanallah, but here Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi didn't just take those ahadith and pen them down, but before writing down each and every hadith, he would go and take a ghusl, and then he would read 2 rakats of salah, and thereafter he would make istikhara. Yes, he will deliberate over it and take the guidance of Allah Azza wa Jal, whether the hadith was authentic or unauthentic. Although he took his measures, but then even then he would perform further istikhara, and then only he would record that hadith in his works. Subhanallah. It took him 16 years to compile Sahih al-Bukhari. It is not just like that the Sahih Bukhari is so famous, alhamdulillah. When you speak of hadith, what is the first thing that comes to our mind? Sahih Bukhari, subhanallah. Although there are many other books of ahadith, but this book takes the crown among the books of ahadith, subhanallah. From 600,000 hadith, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi selected more than 7,250 ahadith for his book. Allahu Akbar. This is the caliber of this great scholar of hadith, that although he knew 600,000 ahadith, subhanallah, he had committed to memory, but he only included the most authentic of them all, subhanallah. Sheikh Sharifal Haq Amjadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he penned a commentary on Sahih Bukhari, And this commentary, Subhanallah, Nuzhatul Qari, it is available from the website of Dawat-e-Islami in 5 volumes, Alhamdulillah. And if you wish, you can download or you can purchase the hard copy. And he said in this sharah, the commentary of Sahih Bukhari, that according to Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullahu ta'ala, the total number of hadith in Sahih Bukhari is not 7,250, but rather 7,397 hadith. Subhanallah. And Sahih Bukhari was compiled upon the encouragement of Imam Bukhari's teacher, Sayyidina Ishaq bin Rahwayh, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. The latter once said to his students, if possible, write a short book containing only Sahih Hadith. And Imam Bukhari was there when this was said, and this impacted him immensely. At that very moment, he decided that he would write such a book. Subhanallah. And true to his words that he did. An important point for the general masses to notice that there are many categories of hadith. Sahih is that category of hadith which is the highest category of hadith, subhanAllah, in terms of soundness and authenticity, which means that its wording and chain of narration has been heavily scrutinized in terms of its authenticity. And by no means does this signify that other types of ahadith are incorrect. No. But instead, they have their own definitions. As for Sahih al-Bukhari, it contains Sahih hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the sanctity of Sahih Bukhari is that those who love Allah's messenger and the pious predecessors, they mention that reciting Sahih Bukhari in full is tried and tested method for removing hardships. Allahu Akbar. So if you have hardship, then use this true and tried method, yes, of reciting Sahih Bukhari cover to cover to remove difficulties and hardships, inshallah azza wa jal, due to the barakah of reciting the words of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that are within in the Sahih Bukhari. And Imam Afsiluddin rahimahullah ta'ala mentions that for my own problems and worries, as well as those of others, I have completed 120 readings of Sahih Bukhari, meaning cover to cover he had read Sahih Bukhari 120 times, and every goal was reached and every need was fulfilled. Subhanallah. These are all the blessings of mentioning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rain will fall if this book is read during a drought or famine, and a ship with this aboard will not sink, meaning a ship where you have Bukhari Sharif, a copy of Bukhari Sharif, that ship will not sink, inshallah. Azza wa Jal, our pious predecessors, rahimahullah ta'ala, have also been blessed with the vision of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning they were blessed with the vision of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam beholding him in the dream during their completions of Sahih Bukhari. Allahu Akbar, may Allah Azza wa Jal grant acceptance to this unique work. And subhanallah, Allah Azza wa Jal has granted this work of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala a renowned and worldwide acceptance. Despite centuries have passed, it is still taught in Islamic seminars, subhanallah, in Islamic jamias, universities, and so on. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us the blessings of Imam Bukhari and Sahih Bukhari. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Imam Bukhari wrote a host of books. Sahih Bukhari wasn't the only writing that Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala left behind. Yet, Sahih Bukhari attained renown and popularity to an unparalleled degree. And Abu Zaid Muhammad bin Ahmad Marwazi al-Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala, he was once sleeping between Maqam Ibrahim and Hajar Aswad when he saw the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream, who asked, why do you not give lessons from my book, dear Abu Zaid? O Messenger of Allah, he replied, may my life be ransom upon you. Which book is yours? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he declared, Jami'u Muhammad ibn Ismail, the Jami' of Muhammad ibn Ismail. This refers to Sahih Bukhari. the actual name of the this hadith book of Sahih Bukhari is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned here, that this is a book of Jami', where 8 major chapters are covered, alhamdulillah, in this book of Sahih Bukhari. And it is mentioned that Sayyidina Alqama bin Waqqas al-Laythi, he relates that I heard Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu on the pulpit saying that I heard the Messenger of Allah azza wa jal declaring, actions are indeed based on intentions. For everybody is that which they intended. So whoever emigrated for worldly gain or towards a woman, so he may marry her, his emigration is towards that which he emigrated for. Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah. And this is the first hadith of Bukhari Sharif. Subhanallah. As our goal here is to derive memorable lessons from Sahih Bukhari, Subhanallah. And this being the first hadith of Bukhari Sharif, Allahu Akbar, which is about niyyah and intention. Let's inshallah listen to this beautiful hadith of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam once again. علقمة بن وقاص الليثي يقول سمعت عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه على المنبر قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى فمن كان هجرته إلى دنيا يصيبها أو إلى امرأة ينكحها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه. Sayyidina Alqama bin Waqqas al-Laythi rahimahullah ta'ala, he narrates that I heard Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu on the pulpit saying that I heard the Messenger of Allah azza wa jal declaring, actions are indeed based on intentions. For everybody is that which they intended. So whoever emigrated for worldly gain or towards a woman, so he will marry her. His emigration is towards that which he emigrated for. Allahu Akbar. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When it comes to the memorable lessons derived from Sahih Bukhari, subhanAllah, although there are over 7,000 of hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we of course cannot sum it up in this short amount of time. But let's say the very first hadith of Bukhari Sharif, subhanAllah. You know, when you open a book, the first thing that you read from that book, that's what most of the time remains with you, subhanAllah. And this is the first hadith we get to learn when we open the Sahih Bukhari of Imam Muhammad bin Ismail al-Bukhari, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And this hadith is about the merit and the virtues of having sound intentions. In the commentary of this hadith, that the narrator of this hadith is the second Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, who accepted Islam due to the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the 40th person to become Muslim, which is why he is also known as Mutammimul Arba'een, the one who completes the number of 40. Subhanallah. He is also amongst the Ashara Mubashara, the 10 fortunate companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who were given specific glad tidings of paradise from the beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. And he, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, had narrated 539 ahadith in total, subhanAllah. To learn more about his life, refer to the Amir of Ahl-Sunnah's book, Miraculous Wonders of Faruq-i-Azam, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, subhanAllah. It is a wonderful piece of writing and you will really enjoy it. You'll get to recognize the noble personality of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the second Khalifa of Islam, subhanAllah. And Mufti Shaykh Shariful Haq Amjadi rahimahullah ta'ala, he explains that this includes, meaning about this the subject of this hadith, which is the intentions. He says this includes acts of worship, prohibitions, disliked matters, and permissible acts. In this hadith context, it refers exclusively to righteous actions, and when looked at deeply, it also extends to mubah actions, actions that are halal, that are jais, subhanallah. This means that if a mubah act is carried out with good intentions, it becomes an act of worship. And explaining what intention is, Mufti Sharifullah Qamjadi rahimahullah ta'ala says, niyat is, you know, innama al-a'malu bin niyat, the words in the hadith. So the word for intention that is mentioned here is bin niyat, niyat, the plural form. He says it is the plural form of niyat, meaning niyah in Arabic. And it refers to resolute inclination and aim of the heart, regardless of what it is for. In an Islamic law context, intention for worship is referred to as niyah. One will only receive a reward for good actions with an accompanying good intention, and there is no reward without this. Allahu Akbar. And there are, alhamdulillah, three hadith about intentions. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions the intention of a believer is better than his action. Subhanallah, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. The second hadith is, good intention will take a person to paradise, subhanallah. And the third intention is that he who intended something good, yet he did not do it, one reward is recorded for him. Allahu Akbar. The meaning of firm intention is when a person decides that he will go ahead with an action no matter what. So he is fully determined. And if one's intention wavers or is not complete in any way, this would not be considered the intention which earns a reward. Meaning we shouldn't be hesitant when we have made an intention. Allahu Akbar. Before learning actions, our pious predecessors would study intentions. Yes. Along with learning the actions, they would also study the intentions. And Sayyidina Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala said that previous generations would learn the intentions behind actions just as they learned of the actions themselves. Some scholars have stated that learn the intention of an action before the action itself. For as long as you harbor good intention, you will enjoy goodness. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. This is so mesmerizing and so inspiring, that so much of reward and so much of effort and so much of emphasis is on the intention. Subhanallah. It can't be taken lightly. Intentions are specifically taught and studied at one point, and this is a huge topic of discussion. Even scholars of intention, Allahu Akbar, now this is not the case. Generally speaking, intention is not taught in detail within even Islamic schools. Whilst scholarship courses continue to be shortened even further, yes, Allah knows best, and our situation, what our situation will be in the future. Perhaps intention will just be studied at a surface level at that point. Allahu Akbar. The reason for this is that our interest in seeking Islamic knowledge has decreased greatly. May Allah Azza wa Jal preserve our Dawat Islami. Alhamdulillah, there are a large number of students who study at Jamiatul Madina. Having said this, our situation grows dire as time goes on. There are two types of worship, dear viewers. In the light of this hadith, whatever we are in this entire discussion is in the light of this hadith, the first hadith of Bukhari Sharif, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat, that the actions are dependent or are considered by the intentions, and there is a profound link between worship and intention. Yes. The action and intention. Worship is the action and the intention is the niyyah. And there are two types of worship. And one such ibadah is ibadah maqsuda, the intended ibadah, such as salah and fasting. These are done to gain reward and are invalid without intention, right? Because for both salah and fasting, niyyah is a precondition, is a prerequisite, is shart, as the very purpose of carrying them out is to gain reward. And if one does not make intention for them, he earns no reward. as the entire matter becomes null and void. And any and all forms of ibadah maqsuda will not be valid without an intention. Intention is a must for when it comes to ibadah maqsuda, such as salah and fasting. Ibadah ghair maqsuda, the worship that wasn't the end goal. These are actions which are a means to fulfill other acts of worship. For example, walking towards salah and making wudu or making ghusl, etc. If one carries out these actions of ghusl and wudu and walking for salah with the intention of worship, they will be rewarded for it. Yet, they will receive no reward without an intention. And they are still valid as a means, such as performing salah without making intention for wudu and ghusl is still valid. Meaning, your wudu or ghusl will still be valid, just that we won't get the reward for it because this is not ibadah maqsuda, it is ibadah ghair maqsuda. Because they were a means for us to be able to offer our salah. Let us imagine that Zaid was not in the state of wudu and suddenly it began to rain, washing all of his limbs that must be washed during wudu, even though Zaid did not have intention of performing wudu at all. As all the required limbs were washed, meaning at least 2 drops of water flowed over each body part whilst his head was moistened appropriately, then his wudu is now considered valid. Yet, he will not receive any reward for this because this just happened accidentally. It just happened coincidentally. So, and this is the crux of the matter here. Hopefully it is all understood. And Imam Nazar Khan al-Rahmah, he was once asked about a person who donated money for a masjid to be built and wanted his name inscribed upon a placard that they have. So the Imam was asked whether this was permissible. He explained that the ruling shall vary depending on his intention. The meaning, the ruling will vary depending on the intention of this person. It is haram if he does this to show off that his name must be written on a board inside the masjid. If he does this for Muslims to see his name and pray for him, this is now not an issue. So yes, it could be done with 2 intentions. So both it could go both ways depending on his intention. And as much as possible, the actions of a Muslim will be observed through the lens of good intention. If somebody's name is written, we mustn't think, no, that this person has written his name because he wants to show off. But rather, we will think good of a Muslim. Subhanallah, having good assumption towards a Muslim. And we must have good opinion of a Muslim brother if they have their name written on the masjid book or any other thing affiliated with worship. We cannot instantly refer to them as a show off. Imam Raza Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi says that holding a bad opinion is no less of a sin than backbiting. Allahu Akbar. If we have an evil opinion of someone, it is not less than backbiting. Meaning it is the same as backbiting. Even if the person is being ostentatious, is this a spiritual disease of the heart? And do we not possess a tool by which we can ascertain whether they are showing off or not? This is a matter between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we think negatively, we will become sinful due to harboring bad opinions. If we verbally accuse others of being show-offs, then this would be a slander, which itself is worse having a bad opinion. And this is haram and it is an act that leads to hell. People are heard saying things all the time and they say that, you know, so and so, he's a liar, he's a show off, or he does this for such and such reason. Now, sometimes we say such things which constitute slander. Here is a powerful hadith discussing the abhorrence of slander. And the slanderer shall be placed in radghat al-khabal until he leaves his slander. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that the slanderer will be placed in radghatul khabal until he leaves the slander. Radghatul khabal is a place where the blood and pus of hell's inmates will pool together. Allahu Akbar. It is a place that collects all the deposits of the inmates of Jahannam. All their pus and blood gets deposited there. And this will be the place for those people who are the slanderers. Allahu Akbar. Slander is a very dangerous disease. Every day we hear statements like, he is a user, or he only does things which is of his benefit. Other times, our entire conversation revolves around nothing but slander. And the person says, I love everything about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches these amazing madani pearls of wisdom, Allahu Akbar. And this hadith should really hit hard. If we are guilty of slandering others, or doing backbiting, or having evil assumptions about others, inshallah, we should backtrack from there and purify our intentions and our hearts and keep our hearts sincere and clean by the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So if we love the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should obviously adhere to his commands. And this is the command of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to not slander, to not backbite, and to not have bad assumptions, but to have good intentions. Subhanallah. One aspect of his sacred speech I particularly love is the act and is the fact he never said anything to somebody which they disliked. Meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his entire life, his seerah is documented, he never said anything to somebody which they disliked. Subhanallah. Look at this. This is remarkable. Allahu Akbar. And it is mentioned in Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya, subhanallah, in the Shama'il, in the description of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is an amazing and beautiful sunnah. All discord would end if we act upon this. May Allah Azza wa Jal make it such that we think before we speak. Would the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say what I am about to say? Will the person I am saying to, would he like this? All of this should go through our mind before we open our mouth and say whatever comes to our mind. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, because every action of ours should be measured according to the measure and the caliber of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because we are his followers, we are his ummah, and we should act as one, inshallah azza wa jal. Especially when according to Sharia, there is no need to say something, you know, that is hurtful to others and that will really upset them or anything like that. Then we should actually abstain from saying such things that the next person may not going to like. By thinking like this, we believe that we would avoid many wrongdoings, inshallah azza wa jal, and our society would become a joyful one. May Allah azza wa jal forgive us, and we are given the ability to make amal and act upon this madani pearl. Ameen. Bijahin nabiyil ameen. Niyah. As we are discussing this beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is innamal amalu bin niyyat, the first hadith of Bukhari Sharif, as we are discussing the memorable lessons from Sahih al-Bukhari. And about this hadith, Imam Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala and the other Imams rahimahumullah ta'ala, they say about this hadith which mentions innamal amalu bin niyyat, they say that sulusul Islam, meaning this hadith is 1/3 of Islam. Sheikh Allama Badruddin Haini rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that this hadith speaks about intention. The rulings of Islam are acted upon in three ways. One is via speech, one is via action, or the other is via intention. So it is one of the three ways. So therefore, the intentions, subhanallah, 1/3 of Islam itself. This is how important intentions are. Allahu Akbar. Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala, he explains that worship comprises intention and action. Intention is of a greater importance, as physical actions are taken to positively affect the heart, steer it towards goodness, and turn it away from evil. Yes. Prostrating during salah is not just placing one's forehead upon the ground, but to foster humility within the heart. Giving zakat is not only to remove ownership of wealth from oneself, but to also remove stinginess from the heart. And this can only be achieved by breaking the bond between the heart and the wealth. We should try to make many good intentions at all the times and for all our actions, to the extent of making numerous intentions for a single action. If we are sincere, then we will learn how to make good intentions, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Ameen. Bijahi nabiyyi lameen. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What are the benefits, some of the benefits of having good intentions, and the harm of having a bad intention? It is mentioned that reward of any action is conditional upon good intention. No matter the immensity of the good deed, the accompaniment of bad intention alongside it renders the deed useless. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala initiated in his book with this hadith. So the reader, the teacher, the shaykh and student alike all study and teach with good intentions, as bad intentions will result in all efforts going in vain. Imam Shamsuddin Hirmawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he writes that when Imam Bukhari rahimahullah made his intention sincere and his goal pure, Allah made his book a means of benefit for the people, subhanallah. And Imam Abu Dawud Tiyalisi rahimahullah ta'ala, he would say that it is essential for a scholar that whenever he writes a book, his intention should be to help spread Islam. He should not intend for people who will deem him good, you know, people to have good opinion of him due to his excellent writing. As if he makes this intention, he will not be sincere. Meaning, if we write a book, the intention will be to help spread the cause of Islam, subhanAllah, spread Islam. And it shouldn't be intention to make ourselves famous as an author, as a writer, because then our niyat is not sincere. Yes, true. And Allah Azza wa Jal announces in verse 7 of Surah Muhammad that, O you who believe, if you help the religion of Allah, He will help you and grant you steadfastness. Subhanallah. As described in Tafsir Siratul Jinan, that there are many ways of aiding the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seven of which are mentioned here, inshallah, azza wa jal, in Tafsir Siratul Jinan. Number one is striving against the enemies of Islam with one's tongue, pen, or sword. That is one. The second, explaining the evidences of Islam clearly, removing any doubts regarding them, and describing the obligations, sunnahs, and what is halal or haram. Number three, calling for good and forbidding evil. Number four, striving to propagate Islam. And number five, aiding capable scholars who have devoted their lives to propagate Allah's religion. And number six is to spend our money on righteous matters. And number seven, allowing scholars and preachers to freely serve the religion by taking care of their financial needs. There are many other cases besides these, which are ways we can aid the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal, inshallah Azza wa Jal. Let's make this beautiful intention. as the intention of a believer is better than his action, subhanallah. According to the hadith of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we make intention to make amal on these 7 points given by Mufti Qasim Hafizahullah, who is the author of Tafsir Siratul Jinan. And he has compiled such a beautiful and wonderful tafsir of the Holy Quran, easy to understand for laymen like us, alhamdulillah. And as it is written in Mirqatul Mafatih, which is the commentary of Mishkatul Masabi, the famous book of hadith, and he says, Imam Mullah Al-Qari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, in the commentary, that Muslims will not be in paradise forever due to their deeds, but due to their good intentions. If they went to paradise due to their deeds, they would remain at a station matching the amounts of deeds they did, or perhaps slightly higher. Yet, a Muslim intends to remain believing in Islam, even if they were to live for eternity, and due to this good intention, Allah will grant them paradise for eternity, inshallah. And disbelievers will remain in hell forever due to their ill intention, as they intend to consistently become a disbeliever, even if they were to live forever. Due to this ill intention, Allah will cast them into hell for eternity. Allahu Akbar. We will never be able to thank Allah Azza wa Jal fully for the incredible bounties and blessings He bestowed upon us. And He has made us part of the Ummah of His final Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Subhanallah. As the Shaykh says, kya ye kam hai ki mere khuda ne mujhe apne mehboob ka ummati kar diya, is karam ka karun shukr kaise ada, jo karam mujh pe mere nabi ne kiya, is karam ka karun shukr kaise ada. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, azza wa jalla, dear viewers, we have a beautiful kalam in the praises of the beloved Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are now going to listen to the kalam, and we shall be back shortly after we have listened to the kalam. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mustafa, Mujtaba, Khatamul Anbiya, ae mere sarkar, ae mere sarkar, ae mere sarkar, ae mere sarkar, ghamzadon ke tum ho gham gusar, ae mere sarkar, ae mere sarkar, ae mere sarkar, ae mere sarkar,
tumhara naam musibat mein jab liya hoga, hamara bigda hua kaam ban gaya hoga, khuda ka lutf hua hoga dastgir zaroor, jo girte girte tera naam le liya hoga, dikhai jayegi mahshar mein shaan mahboobi, dikhai jayegi mahshar mein shaan mahboobi, ke aap hi ki khushi aap ka kaha hoga,
ae mere sarkar, ae mere sarkar, ae mere sarkar, ae mere sarkar,
ghamzadon ke tum ho gham gusar,
ae mere sarkar, ae mere sarkar, ae mere sarkar, ae mere sarkar,
hazar jaan fida narm narm paon se, pukar sun ke asiron ki daudta hoga, aziz bachche ko maa jis tarah talash kare, khuda gawah yahi haal aapka hoga, kahenge aur nabi izhabu ila ghairi, kahenge aur nabi izhabu ila ghairi, mere huzoor ke lab جیب پر انا لہا ہوگا
اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار
غمزدوں کے تم ہو غم گسار
اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار
کوئی قریب ترازو کوئی لبے کوثر کوئی صراط پہ ان کو پکارتا ہوگا مقام فاصلوں پر کام مختلف کتنے وہ دن ظہور کمال حضور کا ہوگا خدا پاک کی چاہیں گے اگلے پچھلے خوشی خدا پاک کی چاہیں گے اگلے پچھلے خوشی خدا پاک خوشی ان کی چاہتا ہوگا
اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار
غمزدوں کے تم ہو غم گسار
اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار
کوئی کہے گا دہائی ہے یا رسول اللہ تو کوئی تھام کے دامن مچل گیا ہوگا شکستہ پاؤں میرے حال کی خبر کر دو کوئی کسی سے یہ رو رو کے کہہ رہا ہوگا کسی کو لے کے چلیں گے فرشتے سوئے جحیم کسی کو لے کے چلیں گے فرشتے سوئے جحیم وہ ان کا راستہ پھر پھر کے دیکھتا ہوگا
اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار
غمزدوں کے تم ہو غم گسار
اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار
نشان خسرو دین دور کے غلاموں کو لوائے حمد کا پرچم بتا رہا ہوگا غلام ان کی عنایت سے چین میں ہوں گے عدو حضور کا آفت میں مبتلا ہوگا میں ان کے در کا بھکاری ہوں فضل مولا سے میں ان کے در کا بھکاری ہوں فضل مولا سے حسن فقیر کا جنت میں بستر ہوگا
اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار
غمزدوں کے تم ہو غم گسار
اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار
مصطفیٰ مجتبیٰ خاتم الانبیاء
سبحان اللہ صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اللہ سبحان اللہ اے میرے سرکار and this is a beautiful kalam rendered by the great muballigh of Dawat Islami alhamdulillah and now we are back discussing our today's topic that is memorable lessons from Sahih Bukhari yes and we were mentioning some of the accounts of our pious predecessors as to what lengths they would go to make amal on the intentions and how important they held the intentions to be meaning they had to have some sort of intentions for them to carry out some actions there was once a pious man who wished to comb his hair he indicated for his wife to pass him a comb She asked, "Shall I bring a mirror too?" After remaining silent for a short while, he then said, "Yes." When asked the reason for his silence, he explained that, "I had intention for the comb, but not looking in the mirror. So I stopped until Allah Azza wa Jal created intention for it in the heart for the mirror to be brought. So then I said, yes, subhanallah." And here another beautiful example that Ishaq rahimahullah ta'ala, he recalled that Abdurrahman bin Aswad never ate without intention. When somebody asked him to explain this, he said he only ate when offering salah become difficult for him and he had no energy. Even then he ate only moderate amounts as to maintain uprightness and zeal during his salah. When he became weak due to reducing his food intake, he then began eating again to regain his strength. In other words, both his eating and lack of eating were for the sake of salah, subhanallah. And these were the righteous people. Allah's righteous servants are indeed amazing people. It amazes us as to how they see things, subhanallah. When we look at ourselves, we find that we only eat for pleasure. As written in Bahari Shariat, eating for gratification, pleasure, and extravagance, gratification is a bad trait, meaning we shouldn't be eating for the sake of eating, but rather there must be a valid reason for us to consume food. These are not matters of halal and haram, but of piety. Yes, these are the matters of piety. And if somebody eats merely for gratification, we will not label them a sinner. Yet, if there is no good intention, we will have to give accountability for it on the Day of Judgment. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And another account where Sheikh Sharif Samhudi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he relays that when Sharaf Munawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, our Sheikh, would depart his home to teach, he would first stand in his courtyard and make intentions to avoid showing off and remain sincere. This means he would stop and mentally ensure that whatever he was about to do was only to please Allah Azza wa Jal and not to show off. Subhanallah. The literal meaning of riya and showing off. What is to show off? It is to perform an act of worship for other than the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Plain and simple. If we have not done something for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, but to show others, it is a show off, as though one's intention through worshipping is to make others aware of it, so he can acquire their wealth, receive their praise, or be considered pious, or to gain their respect. Then it is a matter of show off. This is not sincere action. Good intention lead to good results. The opposite rings true for bad intentions. In some cases, the bad outcome of a bad intention is witnessed immediately. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he said that a king once went on a tour of his kingdom. During this, he stayed with a person who did not know that he was king. The person exited one night to milk his cow. The king was stunned to see the milk the person returned with equal to that withdrawn from 30 cows. A bad intention surfaced in the king's heart as he resolved to steal the cow. The next evening, the cow produced only half the amount yielded from the night before. When the king expressed his astonishment, the host said the king intended to wrong his subjects, because of which the milk halved in volume, even though he did not know that this individual was the king himself. When the king is unjust, blessings depart. So it is a very famous saying, Jaisi niyat waisi barkat. So as we intend, so shall be the outcome. When the king heard this surprising news, he took back his intention of stealing the cow. The next night, the cow gave as much milk as it did on the first day. The king then took heed from this and stopped being unjust towards his subjects. Subhanallah. Nafi rahimahullah ta'ala, he relates that Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma would fast whilst Safiya binti Ubaid radiallahu ta'ala anha prepared something for his iftar. Once he was given a ripe pomegranate, and when a poor person came to his door, he said the fruit should be given to the latter. Safiya said that there is something better for him. She then said to me, give him such and such things. When the pomegranate was presented to Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma again, he declared, give it to another beggar, for I have made intention to give it in charity. Subhanallah. He did not take back his intention to give it away in charity, even though intention alone does not have any effect on the ownership. Yet, as he had made an intention, he saw it fitting to act upon it. Subhanallah. The first hadith in Sahih Bukhari, as we have mentioned, إِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى, for everybody is that which they intended. Some scholars, they mentioned and they explained that it means a person will be rewarded in accordance with the way did a particular deed and the number of intentions they made. They made certain intentions, and this will result the outcome of that action. This renders intention a condition for every permissible action to become an act of worship. And this also means a believer will be rewarded for a righteous action in accordance with the type and number of intentions that they made. Let's say, for example, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, subhanallah, he also has given us beautiful Madani pearls. He says that if one cannot increase in action, make good intentions, and one action will become 10, and it is foolish to make just one intention, as this is to bring loss upon oneself for no reason. Subhanallah. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, we should make amal upon this Madani pearl of Sayyidi Ala Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, following this beautiful hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, we have a beautiful Madani pearl of advice from our great Muballigh of Dawati Islami. Let's go and listen to the advice and benefit from it. Sallu ala al-Habib Sallallahu Ta'ala ala Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that the revered and renowned Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam once went to visit a person who was very weak. The Holy Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam said to him, did you use to make any dua to Allah azza wa jal? The person replied, yes, I used to make dua that, O Allah azza wa jal, if you are going to give me any punishment in the hereafter, so give that punishment to me in this world. The merciful Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, Subhanallah, you are not strong enough to bear it. Why don't you say, O our Lord, bestow good upon us in this world and in the hereafter, and protect us from the punishment of hell. He sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam then made dua for that person. So Allah azza wa jal blessed him with cure. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Dear viewers of Madani channel, every Muslim is aware of the importance of dua. By listening to this blessed hadith, one can realize how significant the manners and the wording of dua can be. One can also get a good idea about what dua to make in the divine court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Our Creator Azza wa Jal is so gracious that He Azza wa Jal gets pleased with those who make dua to Him, and He Azza wa Jal also shows wrath upon those who do not make dua. Therefore, we should keep seeking good from Allah Azza wa Jal and supplicating to Him for the fulfillment of our needs. Seeking good from Allah Azza wa Jal is called dua, which is also an act of worship. The Nabi of Rahmah, the intercessor of the Ummah, the owner of Jannah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, has said, "Ad-du'a mukhul ibadah," that is, dua is the essence of worship. In another hadith, the noble Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has stated, dua is the weapon of a mu'min, a pillar of religion, and nur of the sky and the earth. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Subhanallah, what a beautiful advice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal on it. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to have good intentions and to have good assumptions about the Muslims. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always grant us tawfiq to learn more about the beautiful words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the ahadith, such as this episode we have had, the memorable lessons derived from Sahih al-Bukhari. Inshallah azza wa jal, again, next time we will come with another topic. Until then, keep reciting Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.